Good morning, CHD. I am Kim Mack Rosenberg, General Counsel of Children's Health Defense, and we have a really exciting show for you today. We have talked a lot on this show. I've had both of our guests as guests before talking about the dangers of EMFs in our homes and radiation exposure in our homes and our workplaces. But we haven't talked about a place where many of us spend a lot of time, and that's our cars. And many people now are driving electric cars because they believe that they're good for the environment. They're trying to do their part. But electric cars are not without significant dangers. And we're going to be delving deep into that today and just giving people information and tips so that they can make the best choices for themselves. So many people spend a good portion of their day in their car. So it's important for all of us to be knowledgeable about this. And I'd like to introduce our guests, Keith Cutter and Paul Harding. Keith has suffered from electromagnetic radiation poisoning, also known as EMS, and has produced some incredible podcasts educating the public about health hazards of wireless radiation exposure. And we'll provide those links to you. He also has a company, EMF Remedy, where he offers services to help protect people from EMR exposures in their homes. And Paul Harding is an EMF mitigation specialist who himself suffered injuries from smart meters. He's played a key role in establishing the smart meter opt-out fee in Arizona. Good morning, Paul and Keith. Thank you so much for being here.
It's great to be back. Thank you.
So let's delve right into it. As I said at the top of the show, cars are places where a lot of people, for better or worse, spend a lot of their day. A lot of people have long commutes or they're running around, running errands and the like, and they're in their cars. And many of those cars on the road today are electric cars or hybrid cars. So, can you explain the basic components of an electric car and how they differ from a traditional gasoline-powered vehicle, and if those hybrid cars are even different than strictly electric cars? Keith,
Sure.
if you
Who?
can,
Okay.
Keith, if you can start, sure.
Yeah, they do offer a lot of promise, and they are fundamentally different than the internal combustion cars that we're all familiar with, the gas cars, the diesel cars. The two areas where they're really different is the fuel. Rather than putting gas inside, the electric vehicle has batteries, and or in the case of a hybrid, a small internal combustion engine that generates electricity, and then that is what provides the power. And for all electric cars, the motors that are on the wheels act in place of the internal combustion engine for propelling the vehicle. And those are the basic differences. So there's no free lunch. Each requires, the gas or diesel vehicles require energy to move you down the road. It's just that the electric vehicles are using electricity rather than gas or diesel.
And Paul, you and I have spoken a lot about smart meters and your exposure to smart meters, the smart meters in your neighborhood. Are there similar dangers with respect to, we talked a little bit about fire hazards with smart meters. Are there dangers with respect to electric vehicles that are similar?
There are. It's due to the charging component. So when you plug in your electric car in your house, it's creating what's called supraharmonics within the electric field. And it's actually more powerful than a smart meter. I go out to homes all the time and they put two and two together of when they became ill and when they got their electric car or charging station. So it wreaks havoc on the grid. And there are quite a few papers showing that that this is destroying the grid anywhere from 2 to 150 kilohertz. And why there are papers is because the smart grid wants to use power line communications. So it's interfering with those power line communications. So nobody's looking at these biologically active frequencies and they're just running wild.
So this, Paul, if you could elaborate a little bit, you've started in it, but what types of electromagnetic fields are generated by these electric vehicles, and where do they originate from within the car?
Well, you know, you have within the car, you have your motors and you have frequencies. Most of them are producing around 10 kilohertz, the motors themselves. And, you know, like if you used an AM radio, in fact, they don't put AM radios in there, but we use AM radios or somebody can use AM radios to find dirty electricity in their house. And, the exposure is so great that an AM radio won't even work. So you have your Wi-Fi and you have your Bluetooth and that sort of thing, but most newer cars have that. The danger is really in the voltage field that they're producing, where you don't get that in a gas-powered car.
So can you tell us, that's really in the AM radio is something I haven't heard before. Can you tell us a little bit more about how we can maybe even use an AM radio ourselves to sort of test for dirty electricity?
Sure. Just get yourself a battery operated. The older, the better. The newer ones are digital. So if you go back to like an analog AM radio, you know, maybe 10, 20 years ago, you can turn it to like 530 kilohertz, you know, if you don't have a radio station there, but the lower, the better. And just kind of, you know, turn on, wave it around, go outside, go back inside and start turning on things like your CFL light bulbs and your dimmer switches and that sort of thing. And it acts like like an indicator of you've got a problem. I mean, we go deeper with, you know, oscilloscopes and things to look at the waveforms, but yeah, you can, you know, you can put that in your car and see that there's a problem. Definitely a problem because it couples with the body, with the human body. Those frequencies just don't ride in the wire. There's a skin effect. So they ride on the outside of the wire and they just go anywhere on metal pipes, on you know, if your building has a metal frame, it'll travel on that. So there's radiated emissions and conducted emissions, and then there's ground emissions too. So it goes through the earth too. So they're going everywhere. But anyway, you can use an AM radio to find that.
So that's, I mean, I think that's a great tip for people who maybe just want to do a little self-exploration on their home or in their car before they undertake bigger, a deeper dive into the issue and remediation. So thank you for sharing that. Keith, can you explain a little bit more how EMF exposure from electric cars compares to or is different than sources like cell phones or Wi-Fi routers?
Yeah, sure. So the cell phones, Wi-Fi monitors, Wi-Fi, excuse me, baby monitors, things like that, they all produce radio frequency radiation. And what Paul and I are talking about today has to do with a different type of radiation that is low frequency. So it is much lower in frequency, much longer wavelengths than the higher frequency RF type of phenomenon. So my concern is comparing things to the creation, right? So the earth that we live in, it came with an electromagnetic environment. It's a very complex, very beautiful electromagnetic environment where I believe created to live in that void between heaven and earth where we're standing in a direct current electric field. And there's a very strong magnetic field that we can observe just by using a compass because no matter where you are, it points to the magnetic north. So those are a couple of the features of the natural electromagnetic environment. And it's always the with regard to the electric field when you're standing on the earth, the surface of the earth is negative with respect to the ionosphere, which is positive. And the voltage gradient, the strength of that field is very great. And whether we're talking about plants or four-footed animals or people, you know, they all have this same orientation with charge at the top of the head, for example, or at the top of a plant or tree, positive with regard to the roots or the feet being negative. So I believe that's our model, and that's what's normal, and that's what's natural for living things. When you get into an electric vehicle, I would say it's like utter confusion for our bodies. at best, because as Paul mentioned earlier, you have these motors, and they're going to be strong fields around the motors. The intensity of a magnetic field is directly proportional to the current flow. And although the voltage is very low, the current is very high in those motors, and you have one at each of the wheels. So you are sitting in the midst of not a normal magnetic field. And the voltage being transmitted from the battery to the different motors would give you more of a horizontal electric field. So those are a couple of the primary differences. There are other features that are not unique to electric vehicles that do get up into the RF or radio frequency range. And we can talk about those if you're interested. But I'm speaking about the vehicular radar that comes with some new vehicles. Again, not unique just to electric vehicles, but becoming more and more popular. The adaptive cruise control, automatic emergency braking, blind spot detection, lane change assistance, rear traffic alert, and parking assistance. All of these things emit a very high frequency millimeter wave type of RF radiation that's not like anything else found in nature. So
if we're in, I have a regular gas powered car, but it has a lot of those features on it. It's a relatively new car. By enabling those features and using those features, I'm unwittingly, and I'm sure a lot of other drivers, unwittingly exposing ourselves to radiation. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. And it's even a little bit worse than that, Kim. I've talked to people who want to do something about this. They purchased a new vehicle and they have this vehicular radar. They don't want anything to do with it. And sometimes you turn it off, it appears that you've disabled all of that capability based on the computer interface in the car. So it says it's off and it's not emitting, but if you go and you check with a meter that has the appropriate level of frequency range, accuracy, and sensitivity, sometimes they find that the things are actually continuing to emit that type of radiation. So yes, to answer your question, if you have these smart features, then you are at risk of not only polluting the environment around you, but being exposed yourself to this type of radiation.
I think that is a really important takeaway for all of us, even whether we own electric or hybrid cars or traditional gas powered vehicles. You had mentioned that with the electric vehicles, we have low frequency radiation with longer wavelengths. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah.
And what's the impact of those longer wavelengths?
Well, some would say that they have more biological effect in the lower frequency side from the power line frequencies around 50 or 60 hertz, depending on your geographic location, up to 100 kilohertz. Of course, RF radiation is the bane of almost all the people that I talk to who are suffering from electromagnetic poisoning, and that's the obvious culprit. But I know that honestly, we can't say anything other than zero is without harm. So in any exposure at all to these foreign frequencies, the only known safe level of exposure is zero.
Paul, would you like to add anything to that?
Well, it just depends on what frequency it is. So your low frequencies, like in the 60 hertz, are used in therapy, right? So the skin protects you from 60 hertz. It doesn't couple with the human body, unless it's high voltage. The problem is when you get into the frequencies, and radio frequency is really defined as 3 kilohertz up to 300 gigahertz. So we're seeing science today using frequencies, 150 kilohertz and under, 100 kilohertz and under, to stimulate responses in the cell. And it's with low voltage. And, you know, it's that's what we're looking at to get rid of. You know, if I just went into a house and said, okay, just, you know, the 60 hertz everywhere is going to destroy it. There's clean power and there's power induced with these biologically active frequencies. They're also present in the data. So like with RF or with wireless communications, your cells, according to Dr. George Carlo, don't see that frequency range. It's moving way too fast, but it sees the data, and the data is in the kilohertz frequency range. And so if you've got data on that wavelength for your wireless, it's the same as the electric field that you're, you know, absorbing in your car while it's charging, especially while it's charging. These frequencies are even higher, or the exposure is higher. So yeah, I look at stuff that you know, that affects you on the biological level. And there's plenty of papers to show that. So yeah, it's
so are oh, go ahead, Paul.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So, Paul, are there any regulations? You know, we're talking about a lot of areas of concern that you both have raised now. Are there any regulations or standards in place for EMF emissions from electric vehicles?
Not in those frequency ranges. So it's outside of, you know, they've got radio frequency, or, you know, from 150 kilohertz on up, the FCC looks at, and they don't look at anything below 150 kilohertz. It's running rampant. It's in homes everywhere, and we've got sick people all over the country, and it's getting worse and worse because nobody is paying attention to these things. The scientists or the electrical engineers aren't looking what the medical field is doing. The medical field isn't paying attention to the other. In fact, they call it different. So we, you know, in the RF world, you call it low frequency, but in the medical world, you call it high frequency. So.
So yeah. you're not even, people aren't even speaking the same language, essentially.
They're not. And the people that are looking at these superharmonic frequencies are just worried about how it's affecting capacitors and things like that and electronics. So we're a capacitor also. And a capacitor works with potassium, and we have potassium in our bodies, and it affects the potassium. So there nothing's really tuned to it. You know, like your electronics and things like that. And so it burns motors up, it burns equipment up, circuit boards and that sort of thing. And nobody's paying attention because it doesn't affect the AM radio station, you know, or the FM radio station or communications. So it's just running amiss. It needs to be stopped, but I think it's a little too late. Personally, to go in there and clean up every device that's ever made these things. So yeah, it's a mess.
Wow. Keith, it's a mess. Are there any safety measures, to your knowledge, that the automobile manufacturers are taking to minimize radiation exposure for drivers and passengers in electric vehicles?
Gosh, I wish I could say yes. I'm just not aware of any measures that are being taken. It seems like what's happening is we're all being exposed more and more, and it's the involuntary nature of the exposure that bothers me. So for example, my wife and I used to enjoy sidewalk dining in the small town nearest to us, but as I go out there with a millimeter wave meter, I'm seeing that these vehicles that use vehicular radar are saturating the area as they drive by with millimeter wave exposures. So it's kind of a crazy situation. And I like that you mentioned earlier, Kim, that sometimes the green agenda is being used to sell things, and never more the case than with electric vehicles. You know, we mentioned the smart meters, and I would add the energy efficient, so to advertised lighting and whatnot. And all of these technologies, the smart meters, the energy efficient lighting, the the smart tech associated with vehicular radar. And we haven't talked about the impact of neighbors for electric vehicle owners, but we have great changes to the electromagnetic environment that are involuntary in nature, and they're increasing dramatically over time.
And I would like to talk about that more a little bit later. And, you know, there, as you said, you know, we're exposed to so many things in our environment. I was just having a conversation the other day with someone about induction stovetops and the radiation associated with that, which I think people are not aware of at all. They just think it's a great fast way to cook, not realizing the impact of that. And even someone told me that if your hand is one, if the stovetop is on and you're the person cooking, you're exposed to radiation. But if you have your handle on the, you know, on a pot handle, you've now made yourself a part of the circuit too. So there are all kinds of ways, I think, in which people are unwittingly being exposed to radiation in their homes and in their cars. Paul, are you aware of any safety measures that manufacturers are taking with respect to electric vehicles?
No. No, it's just, it's just whatever they want to do, they're staying within the guidelines that are set. And so, you know, if it doesn't heat tissue in 6 minutes, then it's fine. So we're going on antiquated science right now, you know, from the 90s. So,
are they using those same safe exposure limits that we talk about with respect to cell phones?
Right, exactly. Yeah, everybody's got a cell phone, and it is a weak field. It's much weaker than that induction stove you were talking about earlier. So if you have like an electric vehicle, and it's that induction stove, it's not the magnetic field. The magnetic field is you know, that can be thrown out of court, but the electric field working as an antenna. And that's what it's going to do because of the power usage that it takes to run those frequencies that are being produced by your electric vehicle are now in that stove. So now it's radiating from the stove and it's acting like an antenna.
Yeah. Wow.
It's like I said, those chargers are horrible. And like Keith said too, you know, you may not have one, but your neighbor has one. Mm-hmm. And so now your neighbor is throwing garbage onto the transformer out in front of your yard or their yard or whatever, and polluting all four houses around it. So whatever they're doing, we can go over to like a dimmer switch. Dimmer switches are very small. They don't create a lot of amperage to work. We can do things in the house next door and see it on an oscilloscope inside your house. And I think, you know, it's not really been proven yet, but well, the science kind of does, but we look at the time of the year when people are sick. And mm-hmm. So back east, it's when the heaters come on. And so they're pulling a lot of current out here. And, you know, in the warmer clients, they're getting sick in the summer because the air conditioners are running, right? And so it's creating more of an amplification of these biologically active frequencies. So it's the electric component. You know, Keith and I differ kind of like on the magnetic, you know, but I can take an electric field into court, you know, anytime and show the biological effects, whereas the magnetic, I can't. It's inconclusive, I guess you'd say.
Are either of you aware of any research that's been conducted by these electric car manufacturers or the automotive industry generally with respect to potential radiation exposure?
I've never heard of any. Sorry.
No problem. We have plenty. I mean, there are probably 100 papers showing the kilohertz frequency, you know, science or the, not the science, but showing that they do produce this. But like I said, as far as biological activity, they're not really looking at that. So again, they need to get together with the medical field and see that these frequencies are being produced, you know, to create other responses inside the body.
But do you see any concern on the part of in the industry itself, the automotive industry, to address radiation exposure in their vehicles?
No, not really. I mean, you know, like they're not looking at it. General Motors, you know, you get into one of their vehicles, they've got Wi-Fi going on, they've got Bluetooth going on, and it's, you know, it's all to track you and track everything that you're doing and
right.
send it to a central hub somewhere. So no, of course not. Nobody's looking at the health impacts. They just want the data.
So what steps, and I think this is probably complicated, and I would like to talk a little bit more about prolonged exposure to EMFs generally too, and the health risks associated with it. But if each of you, and I'll start with Keith, can talk about steps consumers can take if they're concerned about EMF exposure from their electric vehicle.
Yeah, so I work with two types of clients. I work with people who have, you know, so by the grace of God, somehow figured out they've correlated the health effects that they're experiencing with their electromagnetic exposures, and they've had that aha moment that I'm better without Wi-Fi, or this smart meter's hurting me, you know, whatever it may be. And so that's one group of people that I work with who have that awareness. And then I have another group that I work with, which are those people who want to take just a precautionary approach. So they may be feeling like, well, you know, I've heard a lot of things, and it may be a concern. So I'm going to be, until it's proven to be without harm, I'm going to see if I can minimize it in my home. And so the biggest step that people can take is to work with a local qualified EMF consultant in your area, and help them help you understand what are the particular risks that you have in your home. You know, what are the big offenders with regard to the different types of synthetic EMF? And then that individual will be able to cut through, you know, the millions of pieces of advice available on the internet and say, okay, look, in your home, these two things are the biggest problem, and these are the four strategies that you can use to reduce. And it gets very personal to the residence itself, to the lifestyle of the families living in that residence. One time I had the opportunity, it was a client that was evaluating two homes built on the same piece of land, less than 50 or 60 feet apart from one another, made by the same builder at the same time using the same materials. And as I performed an assessment on one, I got very different concerns for the other. So one could not be remediated with regard to electric field exposure, the other could, and had a different RF profile as well. So I think the biggest thing that people can do, whether they want to maintain a proactive stance towards their individual or their family exposure to synthetic EMF, because it's never been proven to be without harm, is to have a qualified local individual come in and help them with an EMF assessment and a remediation plan.
Thank you. And you had mentioned these two homes on the same plot of land built at the same time by the same builder, but with very different profiles. Can you explain what made those two homes different? I think that may be helpful for our viewers to have an understanding of how this does differ from home to home.
Sure. This was some years ago, but the two things that I remember is that we had high tension lines. So these are the power transmission lines that go from the point of generation to the various substations. And they were near to this property. One was just slightly closer than the other. And as I mentioned before, we're only talking about 50 or 60 feet difference. But the question within a home with regard to electric field exposure is whether you can get it to an acceptable level by turning off you know, some infrastructure within the home so you can get to a more natural environment. In one home, that was impossible, and in the other home, it was possible. And then I remember a finding also with regard to what we would call dirty electricity. One home, you could clearly hear a radio station from 500 miles away on the electrical system. And the other home had nothing like that. My belief is that since they were nearly in the same place, that was probably more of an issue of the length of the branch circuit from the main electric panel to the end of the circuit. So those were a couple of things that I remember from that evaluation. The dirty electricity was different in one, and electric fields exposure from the transmission lines.
Amazing. Thank you for explaining that to us. Paul, again, are there any steps short of, you know, someone turning in their car, you know, cutting the leash short or selling their car to reduce exposure to EMFs in their electric vehicles?
In their electric vehicles, no. In their house, yes. So, you know, we can go in there and clean up the power quality. You know, it's not hard to do, but you got to know what you're doing, of course. So that's what I do is I go in, I clean up power quality, and, you know, it's a 600 pound gorilla in the room, right? You know, so, 6 volts or 20 volts per meter is equal to 1 million microwatts per square meter. And most people are never exposed to that, but they are exposed to these electric fields in their house, whether it be going through the earth. And, I agree with Keith, you know, there are some things that you can't change, and that's ground current. If you've got it in your house, there's nothing you can do. As far as, you know, what it's produced by, it's produced by stray voltage, and, these cars are in the smart grid and all these energy efficient items are, they're producing it. So you just go in there and look at that. That's what I do, is I look at that first. And as far as driving around in your car, your electric vehicle, you know, there's nothing you can do. It's going to penetrate everything. And, you know, you want to look out for the rest of the family that's there, right? At the house, and whether it be kids, wife, husband, whatever, dogs, animals, and clean up that inverter, clean up that power inverter or that charger that's wreaking havoc on the electrical system in the house.
I mean, I would imagine one thing people could do is to not have, you know, there's the convenience factor of the home charger, right? That's one of the reasons people have the charger at home. You pull into your garage, you plug in your car, is to not have that and to charge. If you're going to drive an electric vehicle, charge it at a charging station.
Until you don't have a battery, right? You got home and you go pull away to go to work and you don't have any power. So it's difficult. It's really difficult. There aren't that many charging stations. And then where there are charging stations, it's destroying the grid around it too. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I know my neighbor has an electric vehicle and he doesn't have a charger at home, so he has to take it to a charging station to charge it. Every time I think he's gone for a long period of time, he's actually plugged in at a charging station somewhere. I mean, I'm grateful that there's no charging station right next door to me.
Yeah.
And you don't want to sit. My neighbors have one. Yeah. And you don't want to sit in the car while it's charging, right?
No. Far worse. Really bad.
And, you know, I was, you know, obviously driving less is one solution, though, as you've both talked about, we're in a space now where we're exposed to things no matter what we're doing. And there's, you know, stuff happening on the street. I assume that, you know, as there are more, I mean, the town I live in, I feel like every other car, some of them are very identifiably electric vehicles. They're, you know, manufacturers that everyone knows. But other people are probably driving electric vehicles or hybrids from other manufacturers that you may not be aware are electric and hybrid. What is the exposure to, you know, we've talked about the exposure to people in their vehicles. What is the exposure to people, as I said, just walking the streets or being near a charging station where there are vehicles plugged in? Are there risks attendant with just being out and about near a lot of electric vehicles?
Yeah, straight voltage, ground current. It's going up one leg and down the other. So, yeah, these frequencies don't ride in the wire. There's a skin effect. They radiate out everywhere. For instance, they're coming through those same kilohertz frequencies or similar ones. They're coming through your cable, and they're in a metal clad, protected sheathing, right? So it doesn't bleed out everywhere. And so those same frequencies or similar to them are just on regular wires with no protection at all. And so they stray everywhere. They go everywhere. And if you were to look at that exposure, like again with your AM radio, you would find a lot of it. As far as your magnetic fields, when there's always a high magnetic field in the area, excuse me, you're going to definitely have some ground current. But if there's no magnetic field, you can still have ground current. So that I think that's the biggest problem is it's creating a very unhealthy place to walk. Dave Stetzer actually did a huge study with cows, dairy cows, and found that it affected their milk production and made them sick and that sort of thing. And so that went to the Supreme Court level in two states. So the science is there that it's a problem. And I don't think anybody's really looking at it. Even in my field, they're all looking at, these millimeter waves and RF, as far as the high frequency coming from the cell phone, but nobody's looking at the what it's doing to the power grid.
Thank you. Keith, do we know if we can talk about sort of long-term and short-term potential health effects from exposure to EMFs from electric cars, and whether or not if we can identify any demographic groups, maybe children, for example, who are more vulnerable to those EMF exposures from electric vehicles?
Yeah, I think the best way to appreciate that is to really understand the history of changing the electromagnetic environment on Earth. So going from the natural environment to the synthetic environment. So I'm alluding to work that was done by Dr. Sam Milham that he's documented in his book Dirty Electricity, and what he showed and was later confirmed by Arthur Furstenberg in his book, The Invisible Rainbow, is that all the disease of modern civilization, namely cancer, heart disease, and diabetes, followed nothing more than the implementation of the power grid. So that's just a huge hat tip towards the destructive ability of replacing the natural electromagnetic environment with a synthetic one. Arthur Furstenberg also has a great list of symptoms that are commonly experienced by people exhibiting signs of electromagnetic poisoning. And it's a vast list. I don't have it in front of me. It would take me about 2 or 3 minutes to read all the different symptoms. But some of the common ones are brain fog. Which is interesting, right? Because when I was a kid, nobody had the term brain fog. Sort of came on the scene maybe at the same time cell phones did. So people experience brain fog, which is sort of a cognitive impairment, memory issues, headache, pain in the eyes, dizziness, tinnitus, of course, heart palpitations, arrhythmia, and Magda Havas has done some very interesting work with regard to diabetics and being in the presence of one of the factors we were talking about, dirty electricity, and what happens to a population of people who are diabetic and insulin dependent when nothing more than the power line frequencies are cleaned up. And what her research shows is that the amount of insulin required by people decreased. So I think also the work of Dr. Martin Paul is very impressive with regard to voltage-gated calcium channels. And through the mechanism that he discusses in his papers, for example, Wi-Fi is a significant risk to human health is the name of one paper. Another paper that he's published is digital dementia. And he talks about the voltage-gated calcium channel effect. Basically, that provides the fountainhead for all chronic disease. So let me just say that quickly again. The fountainhead for all chronic disease. So that's what we're really toying with in these involuntary exposures to synthetic electromagnetic fields. So it's terrifying, and it would behoove people, I think, to take some precautions and take it seriously, even though it's not as a visible kind of pollution.
What are, and then we're going to close, and I'm going to go to Paul after I have Keith address this. What are some tips that you would give consumers, both with respect, and I think it's difficult as we're talking now to kind of pull apart electric vehicles and all our other exposures, but particularly if you can, with respect to electric vehicles, some tips for safety and maybe minimizing exposure, minimizing risks. And is it, for example, a matter of cleaning up those other exposures so that if you're in your vehicle and you don't have a choice, but you own your car, you can't get a new car right now, to try to minimize other risks to avoid, because you're exposed to this unavoidable risk in your car, at least for you at the moment, it's unavoidable.
Yeah, I believe that there's nothing that we can do inside of an electric vehicle to make it without risk from an electromagnetic perspective. If you're able to disable the internally generated radio frequency radiation associated with vehicular radar and things like that, then go ahead and do that. That'll improve that portion of the spectrum. And then you'll need to verify that with an appropriate meter or have your local EMF consultant do that. And then don't put a charging station near where people live, maybe charge your vehicle in a city center. Those would be the things that I would recommend.
Thank you. And Paul, do you have any recommendations for consumers?
Yeah,
and our viewers?
Sure. Get some Stetsurizer filters. Put them in your house. Put a bunch of them in there. That's the only thing. Yeah.
Can you share with people who may not know what those filters are and how they work and where they can get them?
Sure. They're capacitors. I don't work for Stetsurizer or Dave Stetzer or anything like that, but I use them in every home. And that's the first thing you can do is they're capacitors. They plug in the wall. They have a meter that measures the amount of dirty electricity that's present. And I've had great success just by, plugging those in and then going after the wireless afterwards. But go after that first. And, you're going to see people out there that are saying, no, don't use them. Use those last. And those are the people that spend $20,000 to $50,000 on their house and still have to move. So yeah, it's almost a racket out there right now. They're getting into shielding and getting into earthing or all these other things, and they're just not paying attention at all to the power quality or what could be going through the ground. So if you want to get results right away, either turn off your power or definitely get some filters. And we're not talking about three or four. We're talking 10 for every 1,000 square feet.
Okay.
Okay.
And do those plug into your outlets?
Yes, they do. Yeah. They plug into your outlets and, you wouldn't concentrate on one area. You want to make sure that they're available throughout the entire home.
And great. Well, oh, go ahead.
Well, that's when we see results, like immediately, like people see results in their blood within 45 minutes. So it's pretty serious stuff. It really is, but it's been, it's just been put on the back burner, I think, because you know, these consultants aren't making any money on the filters. And so they're going after all the other stuff that's costing them tens. And, you know, like I said, I talked to somebody that's one person spent $20,000, the other spent $50,000 on shielding their house. And they were told, well, you just move. And, you know, it's like they didn't address that first. So I would definitely address that first.
So it sounds like we really need a multi-pronged approach to address all these exposures and, you know, taking as much precaution as we can and controlling what we can. I appreciate both of you coming on and sharing with us all this information today. I think we could have a whole other show talking about the involuntary nature of some of these exposures. Even within our own homes, we don't even necessarily have a lot of control over that. And the, you know, the other risks, which we didn't really touch on, we've touched on with smart meters before, you know, the risks of fire, right? They're, smart meters are a fire hazard. My understanding is that these charging stations are as well, particularly when people decide to install them in their own homes with no electrical background. But even if you have an and you hear about those fires all the time, but even if you have an electrician install it, you're creating, you know, a big fire risk in your garage. And if your garage is attached to your home or near your home, obviously in your home and maybe those of your neighbors. So I think there's a lot for people to think about. And, you know, Keith touched on the greening of this as well. And I think one thing people don't think about, and this is not necessarily the topic we're discussing today, but something to keep in mind as well, is building those batteries and disposing of those batteries are huge environmental drains. They take a lot of energy to both create, and then what do you do with these batteries after they run out, because they don't last forever and have to be disposed of. And I think as more people are purchasing electrical or hybrid vehicles, that's only going to become a bigger problem. But I want to thank you both for coming on today and talking about the health risks and for providing some positive steps people can take to minimize their exposure and their risks. So thank you both and have a terrific rest of your day.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
This and all CHD TV programming is made possible by generous support from viewers like you. Please consider making a contribution today to keep our programming going strong. Thank you.